essentially, you've got that whole stereotypical, we can do it better than your internal IT. We're going to come in from an adversarial standpoint, and we're going to be more effective, more economic, yada, 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 and we're just going to come in. That was very, very simple, very aggressive, MSP 1.0.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 61 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. Last month was our Frankly MSP Live event in Santa Barbara. We've already aired the podcast interview that we recorded live on stage at that show. That was episode 58 with MSP Greg Sharp talking about how he grew his MSP through acquisitions. In fact, there was a ton of great content at Frankly MSP Live, from keynotes with Mike Michalowicz and Tiffany Bova to breakout sessions with people you've heard on the podcast before, like Luis Alvarez and Eric Simpson. One of the sessions was a panel discussion led by Datto's Rob Ray, and it featured three MSPs talking about big issues in the channel for 2020. The title of the panel was State of the MSP Channel. Now, I'll be honest, I am not a big fan of panels at conferences. Too often I find they fall really flat. But Rob asked us if he could lead this discussion, and he promised it would be awesome, so we agreed. And wow, so glad we did. It was fantastic. So great, in fact, that we wanted to share it with you here on the podcast. So our episode this week is the recording of that Frankly MSP Live panel discussion, led by Rob Ray and featuring Bob Coppedge of Simplex IT, Vince Tinarello of Anchor Network Solutions, and Brian Weiss from iTech Solutions. I won't go into any more detail on the panelists since they each introduced themselves and their MSPs on stage. I will say the discussion focuses on two main topics, cybersecurity and co-managed IT. Brian shares his story of being hit with a security breach that affected about half of his clients and how he grew back from that. Bob Coppedge is the author of a recently published book called The MSP's Survival Guide to Co-Managed IT Services. All three of the panelists talk about the opportunities in co-managed IT, plus what they're doing to secure their own businesses and their client businesses. And there are really great takeaways all around. Just a note, this recording has been edited for length.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
In the spirit of what this conference is, which is kind of delivering value to managed service providers, pushing the MSP market forward, this is why I kind of decided to go the route of bringing in MSPs and talking about a couple hot topics that we are all dealing with right now. I have two topics in particular that we're going to be covering today, and I am leaving time for Q&A. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming and doing this with me. Much appreciated. Maybe a quick introduction of who you are, your business, a little bit of where you are, how long you've been in managed services, how many employees you've got, those kinds of things. Bob, why don't we start with you.
Bob Coppedge, CEO, founder, Simplex IT. We're in Northeast Ohio. We're about a $2.5 million MSP. We're also doing a lot of work in the co-managed IT service, where we have clients that are still have their own internal IT department, but we still come up with a pure or an actual.
Don't give away the content yet. Don't give it away yet.
Oh, but forget all that. I didn't say it. I'm here to talk about AOL.
You're about that old too, eh? Yeah.
Okay. FidoNet. Anybody FidoNet?
Vince.
I'm Vince Tinarello. I'm with Anchor Network Solutions. We're an MSP in, I like to say, is the hidden Hawaii of the United States, which is Denver, Colorado. It's my favorite place to live. We have been in business since 2002. There are 20 of us now. Finished this last year at 3.7 million.
Awesome. Thank you. Brian?
Brian Weiss, iTech Solutions. We're actually out of San Luis Obispo. It's about an hour and a half up north. So we've got 13 employees. We've been around since 2005. And we hit 1.8 million this last year after a recovery from actually a security breach we experienced in 2018 that hurt us pretty badly. But my team and I got through it. And it goes to speak volumes on what my team, the culture we've built. No one walked off the job, which is amazing, going through something stressful like that. And got a lot to bring to the table when it comes to security, what we've learned, and happy to share a lot of that with everyone here.
Awesome. Thank you very much. As I mentioned, there's two topics in particular that I want to cover, and one of which is the security of the MSP. We have seen a significant number of hacks And we got the warning back in 2018 from the FBI, Homeland Security, saying MSPs are going to be attacked. Brian, you were one of the first to actually experience it. And I think you even experienced it before the FBI warning. And there was a lot of MSPs like, yeah, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. And then about 6 months ago, it started getting really, really hot. And it comes into really complex reasons or ways in which these hackers are getting it. I'll start it off with a perfect example here, and then I'll let you guys comment on it. MSP out of Chicago, a very good shop, probably in about a $5 million range. Gets hacked. They set up 2FA on all their logins with the exception of the admin login because it was too complicated to have 2FA on the admin login. And that's where the hackers got in. And then once they found the documentation tools and the password keepers, then they had keys to the kingdom. And again, went in, deleted backups and secondary backups, and then delivered ransomware to 33 of their end users on a Saturday morning. So my phone blows up on Saturday morning because these guys are trying to figure out what's happening. We're 6 months in now. We've probably got about 80% of their end users back. They still have a ton of that are down. And yet, I'm sure you guys are seeing, like, there's a lot of articles about these things and how super important it is that we actually protect not only the end users, but your own businesses. And this is a thing that where if one MSP gets hacked, then it's a reflection upon the entire industry. Let's talk about some of the things that you guys have done since this has really come to a head as of late that you are doing to protect your businesses and some advice that you would give. And Brian, why don't we start with you, because you've done a lot of work with us on this and a lot of presentations for us at DattoCons and basically exposing what happened to you and your business and then how you've been able to recover and actually improve since then.
Yeah, the eye-opening item for me is, you know, we're all trying to grow as MSPs, marketing our services, trying to take on as much new recurring revenue as we can. And that was kind of the standard for growth. And I didn't realize that, you know, I didn't really have my existing recurring income secured, literally secured. I like to use the gardener that goes out and everyone else's yards look great, but the gardener's yard doesn't look great, or the landscaper. You feel like your own internal team, nothing like that would ever happen to you because you're smart enough not to fall for this or that, or you're expecting them not to make the same mistakes that you're sitting there protecting your clients against. And it was literally a phishing email on an RMM that didn't have MFA yet. We were moving away from the RMM at the time, so we figured it was less of a concern. We had half of our clients on there. But long story short, I stopped accepting new clients, and we still haven't accepted new clients in about a year and a half. And I've focused just on redoing from the ground up our infrastructure to make sure it's secure, and then what we're delivering to our existing clients. And I've still grown to 300K to get back to where we needed to be, just focusing on my existing clients. So I now care more about my existing MRR than I do new MRR, is my outlook.
Awesome. Thank you. Bob, why don't we go to you? You've been looking at this for a while. You've done a couple panels with me on this topic.
Whenever I talk about cybersecurity, whether it be to potential end clients or on the industry, I actually try to flip it a little bit and talk about why are the bad guys doing this so aggressively. And we go, well, duh, it's the money. But it's more than that, is that every new introduction of technology that allows us as MSPs to better interact and work with our clients equally provides opportunities for the bad guys to exploit that and to basically get in and create some kind of value proposition in terms of threatening damage, blackmail, whatever you want to call it, ransomware. And just like if you're talking to a client who has no idea what cybersecurity is, so they're making themselves vulnerable, the exact same thing is happening here. And I don't think people realize how, if you're the bad guy, we are wonderful for them. Do more with less. You know, if you really want to go rob somebody, back in the wild, wild west days, go rob a train because lots of people with money are on the train. So similarly, if you really want to go rob a lot of clients, a lot of companies, go rob somebody who has access to a lot of them. So it really, from their perspective, it makes perfect sense to come after MSPs.
I follow along a lot of the social media feeds, and this came up in one of them. And of course, we all deal with the SMB market. And one of the comments that was made where an MSP said, and they were like, we need to take better care here. And one of the MSPs jumped in there going, we're SMB. Nobody's going to pay attention to us. Like, we're so far off their scope. They don't know the vendors that we use. They don't know the ways in which we do business. Like, they would never attack us because we're just not on their radar, which I think we've obviously discovered is completely false. And it's like what you said, like, you are one to many, so it's easy to hack you and then get access to all your end users. That takes less effort than trying to go to all of your end users.
To extend that up to a certain degree, every single freaking tool that we're using was originally created for larger IT organizations. But as those products matured, they became more scalable so that they could be used for smaller for the SMB market. The exact same thing is happening in terms of the bad guys' tool set. Now they can actually deploy it to hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, yada, 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 SMBs or MSPs for a fraction of the cost to organizations which, by and large, haven't implemented the full layer of security that the larger organization has. So it makes sense that we're more of a target, not less.
Vince, you scared?
Yes. This topic gives me like ridiculous angst. I mean, with all the other crap that we have to deal with as business owners, like which usually starts with employees and customers. I always say if I didn't have employees, customers, or vendors, my business would be awesome, right? I find it very stressful, and I did not think that this would be something that we would have to deal with at the level that we will. And maybe that's just naive. I can tell you that the peer group I'm in an MSP Ignite peer group, we are focusing on securing our practice first. And I think as MSPs, we get really focused on, well, how do I sell this to customers? And you don't know what to sell to customers if you're not doing it yourself. So we're going through in our peer group an audit process and focusing on securing our businesses. And then we can articulate that message to clients and say, look, we've done this ourselves. It takes like a year to go through. It's an ongoing cycle, right? It's not something you do once and check the box. And just trying to have a lot of those conversations with customers. The scariest one to me is telling them, I need you to spend a bunch of money to secure your business, and I don't really know if I'm gonna secure your business in the end, right? Like, I don't think that we can guarantee anyone protection, and we can do things to mitigate risk, but we can't solve it. And I find that at 48, very depressing, and it makes me want to quit some days. I'm like, because I think it's going to get harder and harder for us to do. So yeah, it keeps me up at night.
Absolutely. What are some of the things that you guys have implemented in your business in the last couple of years that are like, you absolutely must do these things, even though it's an additional expense for you guys as business owners and potentially not even a sell through to your ultimate end users? I think you touched on it, Vince. By us doing these things and securing your businesses better, that actually helps with your sales pitch and kind of even as a differentiator for some MSPs versus others that you might be competing with. But what are some of the things, best practices that you guys would say you must have this in your business today? And Bob, I want to start with you.
The one thing is the mindset. This is an infinite game. You will never be fully implemented with a security solution. You never will be. It will always change. There's always going to be something that's going to be new 2 months from now, 3 months from now, and it could be an evolution of an existing thing, or it could be a revolution where they've come up with a completely different way. And every time a new technology is released that allows customers or clients to truly and properly reach out to their customers or their potential customers, you know that the bad guys can use that, reverse engineer it, and figure out a way to actually create harm and havoc. So that would be my first thing, which is it's an infinite game, treat it like it.
How do you do that with your staff, though?
Basically, you say, what are we doing short term? What are we doing? You know, it's kind of like that cycle, but it's not a cycle that at the end we start all over again. There should always be, what's the next level that we're adding? What's the next level of technology? You know, we're in that position where, are we fully 100% secure? Hell no. But we're much better than we were 6 months ago, which was much better than we were 6 months before that. And we're going to be much better 6 months from now. And I know what it is specifically that we're doing over the next 3 months and generally what we're doing in 6 months. And I have a decent idea of what we need to do in 12 months.
Vince, what are some of the things that you guys have implemented?
We're doing a lot of listening to, obviously, news, but to vendors like, you know, Ryan Weeks sending out a notice like, pay attention to this. Like, we're really trusting our vendors to help us make the right decisions. So, yes, we've done 2FA on everything, check, check. We're having lots of conversations with our clients and our employees, trying to get them to be security focused, security minded, and just being on the same page of, like Bob said, we are not going to eliminate this, we're trying to mitigate this, and always be security focused. And if we can get our employees to be security focused, then that's going to pass through to the clients when they're on the phone. So many of our clients are embarrassed by making security mistakes, right? And trying to have empathy with them is a really big deal.
Brian?
For us, it's all about layers, and that's what we didn't have in place, multi-layered security. One layer or even multiple layers aren't going to protect you 100%. So as you integrate each layer, figure out, okay, once they get past that layer we just implemented, what's the next layer that's going to protect us? Getting involved with your vendors, as Vince said, a lot of us are relying on vendor tools for these security layers, and understanding the tools better, making sure your team's trained on what to look out for, how to not get bogged down by false positives. Partner with an MSSP if you're newer to security. They're going to help guide you along that path so you don't struggle as much. Definitely get cybersecurity insurance if you don't already have it. Require that your clients have cybersecurity insurance. Huge. That could be a going out of business mistake that you or your clients could make. I look at cybersecurity insurance as actually a layer of protection, because if it gets that far, that's your worst case scenario, bail you out, at least hopefully keep your business up and running, a layer of protection.
Awesome. One of the tools that we created, and again, it's not a data tool, but it's all of the vendors that got together and talked about this, and Huntress was heavily involved with us as well. There is a checklist that I'm happy to give you guys, which literally kind of breaks down everything that you should be looking at. If you're interested in it, it's totally free. If you send an email to tools@datto.com, you can get that checklist. Again, totally no charge. What we're trying to do is just help the community, and you know, high tides float all boats.
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
All right, let's switch to some good news here. One of the things that I have seen, and one of the things that we've started talking about internally at Datto, if you're not aware, about 2 years ago, we were acquired by a private equity company, which is not unusual for a lot of the MSP vendors, and even MSPs themselves. We're seeing a lot of that money coming through. One of the awesome things about the investment that the PE firms are making is that they have tons of data as far as where the channel is going. And you'll see, actually, that these PE firms are actually very MSP centric, if not MSP only, on a lot of what they're doing. So we start talking about, okay, so these guys are investing money knowing that our channel is all going to grow. We're all going to grow. And we've done a phenomenal job at the whole outsource pitch to small, medium businesses as to why you need to be the IT guy. What they've discovered, and we started talking about this probably about a year and a half ago, is that because everything is changing so quickly when it comes to technology, it used to be real simple, now it's real complicated, throw in cloud and IoT and all these types of things, and the end user's getting confused. They can't keep up, even internal IT teams. And there was actually a report just a couple of months ago where 49% of adults in the United States still believe the cloud is in the sky. You know, that's the kind of knowledge that we're dealing with end users. I think it was another 51% believe that lightning strikes impact cloud computing. So this is where, you know, the knowledge and education, they can't keep up. The beautiful part about the channel is you guys come to events like this and you're always learning about what's next, what's new, what's next, what's new. And that's not a luxury that end users have. And when I'm talking about the end users, I'm talking about mid and large market. So we started playing around with the idea of co-managed IT, where now all of a sudden these larger firms are needing help and looking for this. And that's where the MSP market is coming in. We're actually seeing opportunities for MSPs to go up market, which is phenomenal because those guys have money and they want to invest in it. And that whole sale is a little bit different. As opposed to going in and outsourced IT, you have to go in and try to complement an in-house IT team. So we've been spending a lot of times and cycles and energies and talking about kind of the future of where all this is going. And we believe this is a legit thing. So Bob, what happens is Bob reaches out to me and says, I've written this book about co-managed, and I started reading it, and he's literally, what he's doing is repositioning the sale. How do you go into an end user and sell co-managed IT versus the traditional outsource? And when I read it, I'm like, it totally fit exactly with what our organization is saying is the future of managed services. So let's take a few minutes and talk about co-managed IT, and then we'll try to get some questions from the audience. So I'll call you the grandfather of co-managed IT. How's that?
I like that. Okay.
Okay, we could do the weird uncle of co-managed IT if you prefer.
On so many levels, that's more accurate.
So what motivated you to write this book?
Well, it actually was a realization. I was at one of the conferences, and there was a keynote, and the guy up on stage basically said, we think co-managed IT is going to come up. And that was it. That was all. He spent about 10 seconds on it, moved on. And I looked over at my tech director, and I said, we've been doing that for years. We finally got a name for it. We finally figured it out. And we basically spent some time where we had several clients who we had a relationship with their internal IT, a cooperative, productive relationship, but we never systematized it. We never consolidated it, standardized it, anything along those lines. And it took us about 2 or 3 months for us to realize, yeah, we could. And essentially, you've got that whole stereotypical, we can do it better than your internal IT. We're going to come in from an adversarial standpoint, and we're going to be more effective, more economic, yada, 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 and we're just going to come in. That was very, very simple, very aggressive, MSP 1.0. Well, we pretty much, in my opinion at least, to a certain degree, we've done that. We've cleaned out all of the low-hanging fruit from that standpoint. So now, it's about relationships, which I know in the IT business, we're all warm and fuzzy. No. But it is. In this particular case, it is all about creating a positive relationship between the internal IT, where essentially you've got their back, they've got your back. So if they win, you win, the client wins, everybody wins. If anybody loses, everybody loses. But to create that, and essentially the way we approach it is we lift the internal IT folks up, we slide in all of the tools that we're using, the tools, methodologies, process, procedures, all of that kind of fun stuff, and then we let them go. They're an extension of our staff, our IT support staff, we're an extension of theirs. And that creates a much stickier situation in terms of that relationship goes than your traditional, the silo approach, where we're going to be handling the backups or we're going to be handling the firewalls. You handle everything else. Don't cross that line, please. It's a little harder to do in terms of implementing it, in terms of building the relationship, building the trust, but it's also much thicker and much more likely to be a long-term relationship.
The state of the MSP report that we actually do, we look at the challenges of what you guys are struggling with your businesses, and sales and marketing always comes up. But one of the top five things is always finding good talent, hiring people, especially when it comes to techs. And if it's difficult for us, imagine how difficult it is for an end user. And I think there's a byproduct of co-managed IT is what we're finding is that as there's attrition on the in-house IT team, they're not going out to market and finding a new IT guy. It just means more business for the MSP because, you know, you're there, you're the one that's kind of running everything and have the staff to be able to do it. So there is an awesome byproduct to the point where, you know, somewhere down the line, we may see complete outsourced and large and even enterprise business to the channel.
You can actually even take that a step further by not only are we basically going to, as they replace IT people through attrition or whatever, with our services, but also we can make their existing resources better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because right now, and this actually works with smaller organizations, we have one or two internal IT people, because they have no one to turn to. They bring in what we call the seagulls, the vendors who come in out of nowhere, squawk, drop a lot of shit, leave the bill, and fly out. Okay? And they're left having to maintain and manage that. With the COMITS relationship, someone's got their back. So they can handle some of the new technologies. They can handle and rely on somebody who they know when something's going to be billable, they know when something's not, and they can work accordingly.
What's your co-managed play here?
We have 3 or 4 clients that we do a form of co-managed right now. I'd say we've failed miserably at it, and we've also succeeded at it. The failure is when Bob mentioned, you know, like, building trust is sometimes hard. You can say till you're blue in the face, like, no, we're not here to replace you. No, we're here to make you look better. But their politics, you just can't sometimes control that of other people. And when we failed, it's usually around not being able to gain the trust of the in-house IT. I think where we've learned to succeed is, and it's taken some coaching of my staff. My staff wants to think in a box of like, here's how we do things. This is the only way we do things. If we don't do it this way, we can't do it at all. It's just to stop and listen to the needs of the customer. So right now we just started working with a firm that's 150 people, and they want their guy to do all of the grunt work. which is perfect. We're going to do all the project work that he doesn't have the expertise to do. And we're going to do some monitoring, and we're going to use some tools. And I think understanding that you can't fit everything into a box of like, this is the only way we're going to do it, helps your practice be a little bit more flexible. We have a hospital where they have us, they're paying us for virtual CTO services and CIO services and net admin services. And so just really, I think we've tried to say where we might have a very dedicated managed service offering when it comes to co-managed, what do you need and how do we work together to accomplish your goal? And that's been a little bit of a different way of thinking for us, and so far so good.
And Brian, finally.
I feel lucky I met Bob and read his book because we're getting heavily into co-managed services. It's a blue ocean and it fits really well with our security offering, which tends to be harder to sell to a small business. You're not really offering efficiency. You're offering something that in some cases hinder their workflow to add more security to protect them against something they may not even feel they need and that costs them extra money. And so I'm finding there's an education needed with smaller businesses that's an uphill battle that I'm seeing less of with the larger businesses. And I'm also seeing desktop support becoming commoditized, which is our tier one level. And I see huge value in actually having that be an employee of a client, the front line, someone ingrained in their culture who's there for all the immediate touches, tier one level help desk stuff that has us to back them up for larger projects. And it's really where we're going to be moving to also eliminate administrative overhead dealing with a larger amount of smaller clients versus a smaller amount of large clients. I see it hugely beneficial for where we're going and where we're at right now.
So we have a few minutes here for some questions.
Yeah, I had this question for Brian. So we were discussing the focus group that if you're a victim of a successful attack, one of the casualties of that is not just your business, but it's your reputation. So what did you do to keep your reputation,
or at least
cover your reputation?
Rebrand.
So
you do know his name was Tony 2 years ago, right?
Completely different business name. Now we got really lucky. Only half of our clients got hit, and they were very long-term clients. We did have a PR company on standby in case it went public, but I think it really came down to the level of communication that we had with the clients that got hit, which I feel like we still could have done a lot better than we did to keep them appeased, to prevent it from hitting things like social media, the news. I think the other aspect too is we were early in the game. This was March of 2018. So it's much different getting hit now than back in March of 2018. Now I'm gonna have reporters reaching out to me the minute they hear anything. But we were prepared with a PR company. We only lost 4 out of 34 clients that got hit. So we got really lucky. I guess luck is the other thing you need.
I'm going to interject on that one. I think one of the other things that Brian did was, it's the cover up. Okay, 9 out of 10 for crap like this, and it's easy for me to say this, not having gone through what you do. It's the cover up that really screws you. And I think you have been extremely outgoing, and I'm not sure I would have done the same. But I think you've been very honest, you've been very forthright, you've been saying, here's what happened, here's this, yada, 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 and here's how we're fixing it. Short term, my God, you idiot! But long term, absolutely the best way to go. I mean, my hat's off for you. I'm not sure I'd do the same thing.
Thank you.
Another question there in the back.
Thanks, Rob. We've always approached COMITS, which I didn't have a cool acronym for or word, as laying services underneath, like automated patching and all the stuff we do with our tool sets, filtering and everything, under these large companies just so they can free up their staff to do higher level or more immediate or more boots on the ground stuff. But Bob, you mentioned something about coming from, you said, as you always do, let's flip it over and let's look at coming from the high end down. Can you, in 35 seconds, sum that up?
Well, if you think about the internal IT skill sets and treat that as kind of a Venn diagram versus all of the tools, all the things that you bring to bear, you don't want to get too crazy on this, but you basically fill in the gaps. So when you talk about from a top-down standpoint, it's we're going to be the CIO. When you talk about it from a bottom-up standpoint, we're going to do all the grunt work. And depending upon the nature of that organization, how do we basically make it so that that value gets maximized for that client and then position accordingly? We've only got about three or four models of our commits because we don't want to have specialized all over the place, but they're based on that concept.
Thank you. Right here.
In regards to the co-managed, what's the best financial model that you have found to be most successful with the client?
As far as pricing?
Yeah, how do you price it? Is it more MSP? Is it more break fix? Is it a model of both?
Here's the thing. You don't want to reinvent everything. You want to take whatever model that you're currently using for your pricing, your costing, and essentially you want to tweak that because at the end of the day, it's costing. So what is your cost model for all of the tools that you're using, all of that kind of thing? You basically take the tech tool, the tech cost that you would have, pull that out because they're doing the tech work. Create some profit there, but then and have a discount of sorts. Don't reinvent it. Take what you're currently using and redefine it where you're removing the cost that your techs would otherwise do. You add some of that back, a percentage. And that's basically the model I would say. So keep it real to yours.
And I think the key to it as well is making sure that it's an MRR play, not a one-time project work. We have to be constantly thinking about MRR contracts long term.
Yeah, this is an MSP relationship. Yeah.
Taking a page from Bob's book too, I want to make sure we don't miss out on this. If you show your full package, what it costs, and then the discounted amount for whatever their internal IT staff is, you're now putting value on that internal IT staff. So you're saying we feel they have value. This is the value they have. Keep them. And it's more of that we're not going to take your job type situation.
So we have time for one more real quick question.
Do you find it hard to keep the internal IT staff and your IT staff in collaboration with each other and ensure that there's not finger pointing? It's easy for us to convince decision makers that we can co-manage, but sometimes there's a struggle with the boots on the ground on both ends on who did what and who's on first.
Absolutely, and it's not always the index finger. The rest of you go through the hand, oh, that one! So, absolutely, and this is one of those where my third book actually goes into detail about why commits might not be a good fit. We just were asked to bid on a commits agreement with a municipality in Ohio, and we pulled out because of that exact situation. We were talking to the IT guy, and it was just he's not going to surrender his methodologies, his practices, which are not necessarily the best, and it would just be a problem. And it's just like any other MSP relationship. We've all had bad MSP customers or MRR clients who did not have the relationship down pat. The problem is that now we have to take that conversation and that value judgment even deeper by essentially saying part of it is the assessment. So when you do the assessment and you find things that are wrong, can you present them in a positive way so that you're not accusing them, well, of course you have a lousy network, you suck at that. No. Well, we understand, here are some things, we understand why, you're understaffed, that's why we're going to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if they immediately are like, well, what do you mean? That's absolutely proper way to, you know. If they fight you every tooth and nail, it's a bad sign.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Datto's State of the MSP Channel discussion led by Rob Ray and featuring MSPs Bob Coppage, Vince Tinarello, and Brian Weiss, recorded at Frankly MSP Live in January 2020. I'll put links to everyone's LinkedIn profile and company websites in the show notes in case you want to reach out. You'll find today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/061. I'll also put a link to Bob's book on co-managed IT in the show notes as well. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.